In the scriptural portrayal, the feminine is always a reflection of the active male polarity. And once the separation occurs, the two remain both interconnected on one level, while separate and independent on another level. And once the separation has occurred, only an equal interaction of the two, in the evolution of the third force balance, can restore the original oneness, but the end result will be the omega of completion in relation to the alpha of unknowing. What is portrayed by Jesus as the far country, which, in the homilies of his disciple Clement, the Apostle Peter portrays this world as feminine. For, since the present world is female, as a mother bringing forth the souls of her children, but the world to come is male, as a father receiving his children from their mother, see cosmic ovum and sperm, while the younger, prodigal, son is portrayed as male, it is feminine reflective in relation to the elder son that remains in the kingdom of the Father, and is representative of our spiritual nature. And this is the reason why, in the Gospels, our indwelling spiritual nature is in many parabolic instances portrayed as the bridegroom. The divine pattern is a hologram, and the pattern itself is replicated into each of the lesser parts, that is, the microcosm and the microcosm created in the image and likeness. In applying the reality of the holographic pattern to the prodigal son, who is representative of a developing reflection of the spiritual, the duality of the two must be dissolved through the evolution and integration of the two within the reality of the third force balance, that is, the eternal soul of man. Again, this is seen in the version of the teaching as to when the kingdom will come that has been preserved in the second epistle of Clement in the words, "When two shall be one, that which is without is that which is within, and the male with the female, neither male nor female." Only when the division of male and female is overcome in the maturity and evolution of the third force offspring, can the kingdom come within the seeker slash disciple, bringing about the next stage of birth that Jesus said was necessary to enter the kingdom. While we have a spiritual nature that remains in the kingdom, and we have a physical nature that is of the earth, as well as a transient soul image that incarnates and cycles in and out of this realm, our soul nature, which is the being of light, is the balance between the duality of our spiritual and physical natures, and this duality is what is portrayed in the parable of the two sons, or better known as the parable of the prodigal son. Yet because of the holographic pattern, the physical itself must have the pattern of the whole represented within itself. In the above brain/mind connection, I demonstrate that the mind is in the etheric field, and it interacts through the whole of the physical body. Holographically, then, the threefold pattern must be represented in each of the parts, that is, the pattern of the whole must be replicated in the physical body. There is a separate soul and spiritual nature that is not at all manifest in the physical body. From a purely physical holographic perspective, the spiritual physical is represented in the seven glands, or spiritual centers of the body. The 12 spheres of mind that are portrayed in the diagram of the tree of life and above, that is superimposed over the Da Vinci man at the right, represent the 12 spheres of mind and are physically connected through the organs of the body, which means that the whole of the body is as much the mind as is the brain, which is confused to be the mind, because it is the upper power center of the mind. Its opposite is the sex organs in the lower nature. Once understood, the lower three earthly spiritual centers are the feminine reflective opposites of the upper three heavenly centers. And in the same way that the outer columns of mind in the diagram of the tree of life consisting of three spheres of mind in each column are in fact male and female in relation to each other, and when the outer columns rule over one's thinking, this is very much the eating of the forbidden fruit of the tree of duality. In like manner, what is portrayed as the heavenly kingdom in the utmost top sphere of mind is in fact the gender and relational opposite of the earthly kingdom, which is presented as the bottommost spheres. And it is the bringing of these two opposite spheres, that is, heaven and earth, into the center, that is the objective of the teachings of the way. And it is this objective that is portrayed with respect to when and how the kingdom will come. In the version of the saying in the Gospel of the Nazarenes in the words, "And one of the disciples asked him, how shall a man enter into the kingdom? And he answered and said, if you don't make below as the above, and the left is the right, and the behind is the before, entering into the center and passing into the spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. And as stated in the above, this objective cannot be achieved through meditation, the negation of the lower spiritual centers, or the process of getting above the mind. In fact, the teachings of the way work from a totally opposite perspective than what is commonly embraced in the East and the New Age. When the 12 spheres of mind are drawn with the Star of David overlain, what is indicated is total balance of the laws and wholeness. Three spiritual centers exist in the head and are physically represented in the glands and in the division of what is portrayed as heaven and earth. These upper three centers represent the heavenly, in contradistinction to the three earthly spiritual centers or glands in the lower body. The balance in the center is the key to what is portrayed in the end times prophecies of heaven on earth. These spiritual centers, which are physically manifest in the glands, are the source of the vital life force entering into the body from the spiritual centers that animates the 12 spheres of mind. That must be used in order to expand the mind beyond the organic limits which are biologically represented in the gender roles as man or woman. In the allegory of the fall of man in Genesis, we see the divine pattern of creation represented in the symbolism of Adam and Eve and in the separation and the eating of the fruit of the tree of duality, aka tree of knowledge of good and evil. We have the allegorical symbolism of the fall of man in the Alpha of creation. But the fall was not due to sin, as championed by the church, but rather the result of the fact that no experiential knowledge existed and we became divided within ourselves. But it is through this division and interactions of opposites that we begin to evolve the light of the soul, bringing about completion and our destiny in the omega of absolute enlightened light and knowing. And this is accomplished through the journey of the soul, and the reunification of divided kingdoms and natures is accomplished through the images portrayed in the Gospel of Thomas, saying 84. That are generated into the fourth kingdom of man, which is a creature of both heaven and earth, that is, the statement in the Wycliffe commentary for Genesis 2:7, where it writes, man's body was fashioned from the dust of the ground, while his spirit came from the very breath of God. He is literally a creature of two worlds. Both earth and heaven can claim him. Once allegorically cast out of Eden after the eating of the fruit of the tree of duality, this banishment was portrayed as necessary to protect the tree of life, that is. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way, to guard the way to the tree of life. Gen 3:22-24 in KJ. One of the key phrases that are presented in the allegorical account is tilling of the ground from which he was taken. The cherubim with the flaming sword of the laws of karmacy is what forces man to evolve, and this is why on Divine Strategy, I portray this banishment of the prodigal sons and daughters as God's schoolhouse. The journey is portrayed in the New Testament teachings on the tree of life, that is, man must overcome the laws that divide and separate him because of the eating of the fruit of the tree of duality, i.e., he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Rev 2:7 NKJ. The tree of life is in the center of the garden, where the above quotation from the Gospel of the Nazarene states we must enter into spirit, that is, in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Rev 22:2 in KJ. The 12 fruits represent the 12 spheres of mind that are allegorically portrayed as the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 disciples of Jesus.
Thus,
each of us must overcome the laws, bring about a condition of wholeness where the 12 both maintain their separateness, and yet provide the necessary foundation of oneness, enabling the person to enter within the reality of their own higher soul self through the center, that is. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Rev 22:14 KJV. And the 12 spheres of mind are portrayed in the image at the right. The tree of duality represents the condition when there is separation in the outer columns to the left and right, and slash, or the upper heavenly kingdom with respect to the lower earthly kingdom. The vital life force that of course animates and powers the mind is drawn from the seven spiritual centers or chakras, which in the above reference at Rev 2, 7, are the symbolism of the seven churches. The key to understanding the 12 spheres of mind as portrayed in the symbolism of the tree of life is when you overlay the tree with the Star of David as seen in the image to the left. And once understood, this is something that the physicist has the potential to better comprehend than the modern dogmatic religious believer. Like the tree of life, the Star of David is 12.6 outer and 6 inner where the lines intersect. And among other things, what the angles represent is the laws that must be overcome in order to bring the mind to this level of wholeness and completion. But in addition to the absolute wholeness and balance of the heavenly and earthly, it also shows that the duality of the heavenly, which is projected into the upper horizontal points of the down-pointing triangle, can only be overcome by the lowermost point in the earth, and the duality of the earthly, which is a reflection of the heavenly, can only be overcome by the uppermost point in the heavenly, as well as the duality of both the left and right columns vertically, as well as the top and bottom points in these outer columns. What this means is that if you negate the lower, in order to achieve a greater energy flow out of the upper, you will not achieve the same results as the Ebionite Nazarene teachings of Yeshua/Jesus and the Way. While the Church promotes salvation through faith apart from works, once the revelation is understood as the kingdom coming within the body and mind of the seeker/disciple, the fallacy of church doctrine very quickly becomes apparent. With respect to the total inadequacy of modern church doctrine from a biblical and spiritual perspective, it is said of what is known as the Epistles of Christ, it is impossible, if the canons of the church be followed, for these epistles ever to be read in the public services. Archbishop Trench, Church of England, quoted in Cites the Apocalypse, see Epistles of Christ. We can see how the Christians routinely eat the forbidden fruit of the tree of duality in their insistence that salvation is by faith alone. In total contradiction to modern Christian doctrine, the criteria of judgment in the Book of Revelations that will be used for the followers of Christ is not passive faith or philosophical belief, but rather, the criteria is the people's works, that is, what they accomplish with their lives, and it is used in this fashion 18 times. At Revelation 3, 2, we find an example of one of the main differences in the religious perspective of the first century followers of Jesus, those who knew him and personally sat at his feet and learned the requirements to enter the kingdom, and what we believe today. For I have found no works of thine perfected before my God. Rev 3, 2 SV. All genuine Christians must therefore ask the question, what does it mean when Jesus condemns the people because they fail to have perfected works, which in many other translations is rendered completed works? From the perspective of what Jesus taught his faithful disciples, completed and perfected works is demonstrated by their ability to enter into the inner, Luke 17, 20-21, parallel realm that he called heaven and another realm he called the kingdom of God, and the requirement to be spiritually pure enough to sit in the house and be taught by the one teacher. To follow Christ literally means to go to where the master is. Since the master is in the kingdom, then we cannot be his followers if we are not with him. Thus, the term works takes on a whole different dimension that neither the Sadducees, Pharisees, the Church of Rome, nor the modern believer is able to comprehend. And when this reality is understood, Paul was 100% correct to proclaim that believers can't find salvation in the ritual works of the law. Yet, because those who read the Bible are of a carnal mindset and lifestyle, the reality that Paul is attempting to convey is beyond their ability to even imagine. To begin to understand this important esoteric spiritual truth with respect to the absolute need of perfected works, one must begin to think dimensionally. In alchemy, the forms and symbols of the diagram of the tree of life have many important meanings that can only be understood by those who bring about the necessary transformation of self. If we draw a horizontal line through the center of the Star of David or the triangle at the right, we can begin to grasp the obstacles that confront man and his search for higher truth. If the lower portion of the tree of life represents the earthly, and the upper the heavenly, then the horizontal line that makes up the lower base of the triangle at the right is on the earthly plane, while the point where the duality of the earth is overcome is on the higher heavenly plane. If the two outer points which form the horizontal base are manifest in the outer male/female columns of the tree of duality, then we can begin to grasp the dilemma that confronts the seeker of truth. Traditional, cultural, sexual or emotional interaction between man and woman cannot raise the third force balance of the two above the earth plane and into the point that makes the two one flesh on the heavenly plane. Thus, in order to bring about the necessary alchemical transformation, there must be an interaction between the two opposite polarities that raise the third force balance into the higher heavenly plane. If the bottom horizontal base of the triangle represents the duality in the earthly, then this duality can only be harmonized and overcome in the development of the upper point. If the horizontal base represents the perception and understanding from the limited reality of the earth plane, then the elevated point, which is able to not only perceive reality from a higher plane, but also without the duality of the lower earth plane, possesses an enlightened vision and understanding that is not organic to the duality of the earth. One of the primary obstacles that confront seekers is seen in the fact that to achieve this higher vision where the duality of the earth is overcome, the third force balance must be raised up. Therefore, from a purely cultural perspective, what would be commonly understood as the traditional consensus balance of opposites, male/female, on the horizontal line of the earth plane, would only produce a third force balance on the same horizontal earth plane. And thus, the majority of religious paths attempt to ignore the duality in the earth or rectify this duality by seeking the spiritual as portrayed in the uppermost point, without understanding the nature of that elevated point of mind and being. In the same way that the soul is asexual and is a being of light, that is pure intellect and consciousness, what exists on a soul level is not polarized to male or female of any other duality, and yet the enlightened vision of reality is the product of the absolute balance of duality. In Jewish mysticism, Eve did not come into being when formed from the rib of Adam, but rather, Eve always existed before being separated. In the first creation account, man was created from the beginning male and female in the image of God, that is, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Gen 1, 27 KJV, which indicates that what is allegorically portrayed as Eve always existed within the reality of the One, and that to even exist in this world, what exists must be in accord with the divine pattern, and in the same way that man and woman exists in duality, so too does even every thought that is generated by man and woman. And only when these thoughts are balanced and made whole across the spectrum of male and female, can the third force balance that exists from an enlightened higher soul perspective exist. The monastic mindset attempts to negate the lower, and in meditation or ritual practice, attempt to focus on that heavenly, upper spiritual center point. Yet, this cannot be accomplished in the way that they think, or such a path will take a really long time spanning countless eons of monastic/ashram-controlled lifetimes. The secret to the point that is represented in the uppermost heavenly that overcomes the duality in the earth is the reflective lowermost point of the earthly, in the Star of David. And it is here, in the consciousness of the body as represented in the ego self of the earth, that you must strive to become the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed, and it is here where you must strive to overcome the laws portrayed in the symbolism of cherubim with the flaming sword of the laws of karma, see the laws. Once properly understood, the resurrection is an allegorical portrayal of the final stage of birth, and the Gospel of Philip warned that if the next stage of birth is not achieved while in the physical body, that is, those who say that first they shall die and then they shall arise are confused. If they do not first receive the resurrection while they live, they will not receive anything when they die. See that what must be accomplished while in the body cannot be achieved after the death of the physical. Why? In spirit, without the body, you can't work on that lowermost point of mind and being that is deeply immersed in the lower vibrations of the earth. So your soul must continue to incarnate in order to overcome these laws which divide and separate the seven kingdoms. Yet, once in the earth, the tendency is to seek the spirit as portrayed in the uppermost point as the solution to the earthly dilemma. The problem is seen in the fact that most systems of religion attempt to accomplish this by suppression and negation of the lower centers and what they call the ego self. They attempt to become spiritual by rejecting the flesh and the things of the earth in contradistinction to evolving and perfecting what is earthly, in order to make it a foundation for the higher and spiritual reality of mind and being. The soul of man did not enter the earth plane to not live, not engage, not know, and not prevail over the lower realities of self and creation. As it is written, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Gen 1:28 KJV. Thus, it is impossible to have dominion over the three lower kingdoms of the earth without directly engaging one's lower nature, and it is impossible to be fruitful and multiply without the proper and balanced interaction of male and female on all levels of our being. It is important to note that in the first Genesis creation account, that there is no tree of duality with its forbidden fruit, that is, "Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I've given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth, and all the host of them, were finished. Gen 1:26-2, 1 NKJ. If the spiritual meaning of what is being allegorically portrayed is understood, then what is called the tree of duality did not exist until the separation of male and female was brought about by the laws in the second creation account. That is, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Gen 2:16-17 NKJ. And in the very next verse we find the separation of Eve from the side of Adam. In the same way that the soul of man is asexual, and yet is the balance of all male and female opposites, then the forbidden fruit of the tree of duality is representative of the male and female thoughts in their divided state. The promise is that those who eat of the forbidden fruit will die, and this is true of all those who eat of the tree of duality. From a higher soul and spiritual perspective, they are very much dead, and this death is expressed in the meaning of Ek 9:5, that the dead know nothing. This of organic man's inability to understand the true meaning of the scriptures, the church father Origen writes, "What man of sense will agree with the statement that the first, second, and third days in which the evening is named and the morning were without sun, moon, and stars, and the first day without a heaven? What man is found such an idiot as to suppose that God planted trees in paradise in Eden, like a husbandman, and planted therein the tree of life, perceptible to the eyes and senses, which gave life to the eater thereof, and another tree which gave to the eater thereof a knowledge of good and evil? I believe that every man must hold these things for images, under which the hidden sense lies concealed." Origen, Hut, Prygeniana, 167 Frank, page 142. In the same way that the polarities of male and female are representative of the pattern of duality in the earth, the very thoughts and mental impressions, in addition to the spiritual, vital energies or life force, what exists within the reality of man and woman in a state of division, must be overcome and raised up to a soul level of being, in order to eat the fruit of the tree of life. And the only way to overcome this duality is to properly engage and evolve it and restore the male and female to a condition of oneness and wholeness. Thus, the kingdom can only be restored as presented in the second epistle of Clement, where Jesus teaches on the coming of the kingdom in the words, "Let us expect, therefore, hour by hour, the kingdom of God in love and righteousness, since we know not the day of the appearing of God." For the Lord himself, being asked by one when his kingdom would come, replied, "When two shall be one, that which is without as that which is within, and the male with the female, neither male nor female in the same way that there was no tree of duality in the first creation account of Genesis, and this duality that brings death is the result of the laws only when the laws are overcome, can the kingdom be restored within the prodigal sons and daughters. While there have always been entry-level pseudo-Gnostics who have preached an earthly evil and heavenly good doctrine based upon fragmentary understandings, the Gnostics, who truly know, stated the necessity of evolving the earthly or ego personalities, which are often portrayed as false personalities, in order to develop the essence self or soul impression in Gospel of Thomas saying 84. And thus, the earthly or ego self must become the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed, in order for the essence self or soul image to develop and evolve to its full potential as portrayed in the words, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Mark 4, 8 NIV. The soul image or essence self which was implanted in the body at conception, if the ego or false personalities are the expression of the earthly centers, then the refining of the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed is representative of the development of the lower centers and ultimately the earthly becoming the bride of the heavenly opposite coming together in the center. It is important to recognize that while you can't get to the upper point on the heavenly plane that is beyond your reach as organic men, the point that is the object of worship to the ashram and monastic mindset who strive to achieve illumination through the light emanating through the sixth spiritual center. If you understand and are willing to apply the natural laws of creation and spiritual alchemy, you can make the lower point reflect the upper, which enables the joining. Therefore, the lower point as portrayed in the Star of David at the left must be purifying and evolved to the degree that it merges with its heavenly opposite. Once properly understood, the threefold reality which the monk or yogi attempts to tap into by the suppression of the lower and the meditating on the light emanating through the sixth center above and between the eyes can be used to demonstrate the failings of the path of both the monk and yogi who rely upon meditation to achieve their ecstatic states of illumination and what they portray as Christ consciousness via the light that enters the body and mind through that center. Thus we must ask, why not the topmost seventh center? And it is in the understanding of this crucial question that the secret to the key of all of creation is revealed. The top three centers in the head are the heavenly centers and the sixth center is the balance of the fifth and seventh spiritual centers, akashakras. The amount of light that has the potential to illumine the mind is the result, or fruit, of the balance of the fifth and seventh spiritual centers, which balance is manifest in the sixth center. And herein lies the problem, that is, part of us is manifest in the lower vibrations associated with the earth and earth consciousness, and the higher reality of the soul or soul self cannot even be approached without the wholeness of the seven spiritual centers, which cannot be balanced without the evolved balance of mind as portrayed in the diagram of the 12 spheres of the tree of life with the Star of David overlaying. What this means is that while the monk or yogi can learn to meditate and tap into the light of the sixth spiritual center, their path is a slow and safe way by virtue of not engaging the lower three centers, which are earthly, or more correctly, by engaging them by proxy through their disciples who they guide in their path. The problem is that because they have chosen to follow this slower and safer path, it is impossible for them to achieve balanced wholeness. And neither the monk or yogi can achieve the next stage of birth, which stage of birth in a given life is not even their objective. In the same way that in a sexual path, such as the Egyptian temple prostitutes and priests, or even a sexual addict who is addicted to the energy release from the lower triad spiritual centers, the monk and yogi becomes consumed by the energy pouring into the body-mind, by the triad and the head of condition, which they often call Christ consciousness. In the same way that carnal man can't achieve the next stage of birth because of his lack of balanced wholeness, Neither can the monk or yogi achieve the next stage of birth, because they lack balanced wholeness from the perspective of the opposite polarity. And this void created by the imbalance is why the word meditation does not even appear in the Gospels, and why Jesus stated that there is only one way into the kingdom. This is not to say that the Eastern paths are wrong, only opposite from the teachings of the way, and those souls who choose the Eastern path feel that the safety of this very controlled path outweighs its inherent weaknesses. Sadly, in most instances, while the yogi understands this higher reality of the path he has chosen, the monk who is ruled over by blind faith does not. In a summary explanation which will be explored throughout the following, if the triangle above represents the dilemma from the perception of man on the earth plane with the horizontal duality that must be satisfied by the third force point of the heavenly plane, and the vast number of religions attempt to overcome the dilemma by negating and getting above the mind by seeking that higher point to the exclusion of the lower, then the Ebionite Nazarene teachings of the way embraces an opposite Gnostic path. As presented in the parable of the sower and the seed, the teachings of the way strive to develop and evolve the lower point by making the reflective earth ego self the good ground. And this is the objective of allegory of the Torah, and the manifestation of the lower animal appetites that must be evolved and perfected in the portrayal of the final temple. And it is the evolved development and perfection of these lower centers that embodies the call to the parable of the wedding feast, wherein each who comes to the call must have on the appropriate wedding garment, which signifies the evolved perfection of the lower earthly spiritual centers, which are intentionally negated by the paths of the monk and yogi. And this is why, contrary to the Eastern paths, the Gospel of Thomas is consumed with the development of self as seen in the wisdom. But if you will not know yourselves, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty. Whoever finds himself is superior to the world. The self that the seeker must find is the indwelling soul self that is the focus of the true self in the Gospel of Thomas, saying 84, explored above and throughout. And this can only be achieved through the wholeness of an evolved mind that brings about the next stage of birth. Again, we see the relationship between the lower earthly point, that is the solution to the upper heavenly duality, in conjunction with the upper heavenly point, that is the solution to the earthly duality. And when evolved wholeness is achieved, how the perfected fruit of the tree of life is portrayed in the symbol of the Star of David.